Hi, I'm Allie Gertz.
And I'm Julia Prescott. And this podcast is brought to you by
Everything's Coming Up Simpsons. Make sure to tune in on September 11th.
We are talking about the episode Radio Bart with a special guest you may recognize.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright.
And actually, I'm Bart Simpson. Who the hell are you?
We're so excited.
Oh, this is so good.
This was one of our favorite episodes we've ever done.
Mark your calendars. I don't know. You're probably already downloading it. What is this life?
September 11th, we are joined by, you already heard her, Nancy Cartwright. We're so excited. Please tune in.
All right. Bye.
Hey, weird adults. Today's episode is brought to you by Audible.com. Audible has the best audiobook performances, the largest library, and the most exclusive content, and you'll feel something when you listen. Learn more at audible.com/weirdadults, where you can get 30 days free and one free audiobook. It's awesome, and just so you know, I'm right now reading Missoula. I think it's a must read, and it's super easy to digest if you're listening to it on Audible. I'm also highly, extremely beyond above recommending you read or listen to on Audible, So You've Been Publicly Shamed by John Ronson. If you are of the now, if you are living in the time that we're living, which I hope you are if you're listening to this, if not, please seek medical attention because you are in fact dead. But if you are living, you have to read So You've Been Publicly Shamed by John Ronson, and you can get it for free by going to audible.com/weirdadults. This book is such a necessary read because it's so relevant to the times we're living in, and I just think it's awesome. All right, guys, check it out, audible.com/weirdadults. Should we get started?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, cool. Hey, guys. Welcome to Weird Adults. Hi.
Hi, Esther.
It is my show, but because there's two of you, it feels like it's your show.
We're also sitting in the same place where we normally do Doughboys.
Yeah.
We're in the exact same configuration.
You also took us off guard by because you jumped into it so fast.
Oh, right. Really?
I think you scared us.
Well, then that should level the field because I'm a little scared because, like I said, like there's two of you.
Right.
You're in your home court. Mm-hmm. I mean, this isn't a battle. We're just trying to have fun and talk. But
there's always a winner at the end of every podcast. Podcast, there's one winner.
Yeah.
It's usually me on our podcast, right?
I don't think that's accurate.
So you guys, your guys' podcast is Doughboys, where you eat like a chain restaurant.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then you talk about the meal you had on the show.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you came on our podcast mm-hmm. and we talked about Wood Ranch.
Yep.
And that's right, right? Wood Ranch? Is that
yeah.
what we did? Yeah. So, I mean, it's just, we go to a different chain every week. Some are fast food, some are sit-downs, mm-hmm. everything from Wendy's to Morton's Steakhouse and everything in between.
From Applebee's to Zanku Chicken.
Two chains we haven't reviewed yet.
Oh my gosh.
Maybe never will.
Yeah.
I do love your podcast. It is very, very funny.
Oh, thank you for saying that.
Yeah. I know you guys are big fans of mine, so just I know you are.
It goes without saying.
I know all your favorite episodes. Like, I know exactly. Number 25, right?
Right.
Yeah.
25.
That's a sweet spot.
25 is the sweet spot. Nick and I say that all the time.
No, I know.
I say 25, and he says, that's the sweet spot.
Then I flip him a quarter. And then we high five.
I just got Invisalign. Is that embarrassing?
No, that's cool.
No, that's really? Is that an embarrassing thing to admit?
Well, it's hard, like at parties and stuff, when you have these retainers in your mouth and you're like, the trays are out right now, but like you're lisping and you
sure.
just, it really brings back the feeling of being in middle school because I saw you at a party on Friday night and I didn't have them in then, but because I had I was going through this experience, I felt like I was a new kid at school and it was really tough.
Was I the life of the party that night?
You were. do you think that you were?
No, not at all. Actually, you know what? That was the absolutely holiday party.
Yeah.
And maybe there are no, Tim Heidecker is the king of the party, I guess, is the absolute.
Oh,
party.
Right.
Yeah, not a name drop or anything like that.
It sounded
like I was like, check out this party. I was just saying like I love that absolute party because it is like I feel like I'm amongst my people of like kind of like nerdy, great nerdy, weirdo people that I like a
lot. I like that feeling too, but I felt weirdly like even outside of the outside.
Because,
yeah, it was really traumatic. Wait, I have a question for you from that party.
Uh-huh.
So I was like at one point playing on this laptop at the party and trying to change the music, and the music went off.
Oh, yes.
Do you remember that?
Yes, I remember people actually like booed.
Yeah. But did you know like that it was me, or did you not
remember? I had no idea it was you.
Okay, good.
I think I may have booed as well, just jokingly.
Okay, that's fine.
That's funny you say that thing of you not feeling, because I've said this before, but I like... Like when I was like in, like I never have felt like I fit in with like the jock crowd, and I never felt like I fit in with like the nerd crowd, if you want to put quotes around that. I have a great group of friends. I love all my friends. I get along great with my friends in college and in high school and back in Quincy or whatever. But I've always felt like outside a lot, like either group. I feel like I haven't fit in either group or whatever.
Yeah,
you're a man between worlds.
I am. I feel like I don't belong sometimes.
Nick, what about you?
I mean, cool.
I can answer. God.
No, what like, were you going to say? Nick,
I was going to say, of course you don't belong. Like, you don't belong.
No, yeah, I don't know. I don't feel like I don't have any close friends except for my wife.
You maybe were, but then maybe you were more classically cool. I don't, because you said you were pretty cool in high school.
I don't know if I was pretty cool, but I was like around cool friends.
Yeah.
I was like a funny guy in a group of people who would probably be considered cooler than lame.
I'd say that's...
Yeah. Were they cooler than you?
Yeah, I think so.
Because you were like the funny one.
I think so,
you were like the court jester who made them laugh.
Right, but I was also a little bit... Like, I was a little quirky look-wise in high school. Like, I had big old glasses, and then for a time I had long hair. So I looked like a very different guy than the sort of clean-cut dude I am now. And I was a little chubbier, too. I was a pretty chubby guy from, like, 9th through 11th grade, and then I lost a bunch of weight my senior year.
Can I also just say that when you said I was a little chubbier, I just want to point this out, that you... This is dirty, but you made, like, you made, like, a... breast thing. You did like a thing where
I
you
did
like,
that.
Yes, yes.
I wasn't trying to make a titties gesture. I was trying to make like a bulk gesture.
Well, you 100% made a titties gesture. What do you put it right by your chest?
I mean, yeah, I had more fat in that area, so yeah, I had something of a.
There's a lot to unpack here. How did you lose weight senior year?
So I swam a shitload and I changed my diet. This would have been in the late 90s. And so I went to, at the time, it was all about low fat was the thing. Like oh, you eat a low fat diet, which is very contrary to the low carb craze now. But I went on a low fat diet.
Well, it's contrary to the high fat.
Yeah, right now it's high fat, low carbs. Back then it was high carbs, sugar, eat as much as you want. Snackwell's cookies were a big thing, loaded with sugar, but were fat free, and then just avoid fat.
That's how you lost weight?
I lost a bunch of weight on a fat free diet.
That's crazy.
But also low calorie, right?
Yeah, but that's the thing. Like the idea of fat free kind of works if you stick to it. It's very hard to stick to, but it works if you stick to it just because you're consuming fewer calories. Then also I was swimming a lot. Like I was swimming every single day. Like a shitload. We had a pool in our backyard, and I swam a shitload of laps to the pool every day. So I was actually getting some exercise. I went from being a sedentary man who played Nintendo, it would have been Nintendo 64 at the time.
Hell yeah.
To and PlayStation, and to being a guy who swam every day for an hour and was watching what he ate.
What came over you? And also, you had a pool?
Yeah, we had a pool in our backyard that got installed.
Are you from L.A.?
I'm from Southern California. Oh. From Lakewood, California is where my parents' house was, and it's where I grew up, and then I went to school in Long Beach.
Okay, now there's something you said a little bit earlier that I need to go back to. You said I don't have any close friends except my wife.
Right.
That is like my dream that for my boyfriend or husband or whoever I have to say that. So I just want to say, like, I want to pat you on the back. Like, that's really sweet.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, I wasn't intending for it to be sweet. I thought it was truthful, but I guess it is kind
of
sweet.
A lot of people do say that about you. Like, Nick will, like, leave, with, like, at UCB and stuff, he would leave. Like, people are like, we're going to go to the bar, and you'd be like, I'm going home, and you just would go home.
Yeah.
That's the thing that people know of him, is that he kind of will be like, I'm going to go home, or whatever.
Right.
That's cool. I totally get that. Is it because, do you think it's more that you're a homebody, or more that you're like, I need to go see my wife?
Well, there's also the logistical thing of the UCB Theater in Hollywood And we've always lived in Santa Monica, which is a very distant neighborhood. It's about a 30-minute drive if you're not from LA. So there's just the logistical issue of, like, it takes me a half hour to get home. I certainly can't have four drinks and then drive a half hour. So, you know, I'm always going to cut the party a little short. But also, too, just fucking tired. I just get so fucking tired. Like, I'm tired now. It's like 8. It's like almost 9 p.m. when we're recording this, and I'm just exhausted. Like, I'm like ready for bed.
You sound like a father.
I am. I'm an old man. I'm not a father. I'll probably be childless. I'll die childless. But I just get worn out, and I'm just done with everything.
Don't say that. You'll probably kidnap one or two kids.
It's not the same principle, bitch.
Does that put a damper on your, like, because you said he leaves early a lot. Is he like the outsider in your group?
Oh, it's funny because like a few years ago, when I went out, I don't go out as much anymore. So I kind of get it. Like, right. I go home now too, and I was like, oh, I liked to go to the bar a lot, and Nick wouldn't. Like, this is like 8 years running or whatever. We would do sketch shows together, and you would sometimes stop over for a drink, but you'd go home a lot.
Yeah.
And I would like be like, I'm going to stay here all night and get drunk or whatever. But now I'm like, I'm going to go home. Like, I feel like I've kind of become the same thing.
Yeah.
Home is great. I mean, I've always liked home since I was in high school or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, I like going out, but I also like being home. It's comfortable on your couch watching TV or playing video games. It's a very nice experience.
Right. I love being home. I also like eating dinner really early so like I can get home and have the whole night ahead of me to just be at home.
Mm-hmm. That's great. That's actually a thing that's happened in the past couple of years. I've started being into early dinners. It's fucking great. Go ahead. Yeah.
No, I was just saying, I 100% agree. That sounded very nice. Like, right. I love that too. It scares me because I feel like this last year, like the last few years, I've just kind of just been like a crazy rocky couple of years anyways. And then like, I'm just kind of like the feeling of being at home and staying at home is like so nice. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I've like in this last year, I've been more like concerned about being like, you don't go out, like you need to go out or whatever. So I've kind of like made that. I've tried to do that again, like get myself out and about now more than in the last 2 years because you being at home for too long can especially when in our industry or whatever you don't work for a month or 2 months or whatever and being at home can just become super depressing.
Yeah. You gotta get that. My grandma's 90. She just turned 90 this year.
Happy birthday.
Yeah. Well, not recently this year, but yeah, happy birthday. That you can celebrate a 90th birthday all year long.
Yeah, for sure.
Pretty eventful, but her thing, and it's laudable. And I think people younger than her could heed her lesson. But she just forces herself to get out of the house every day. Like I'm not gonna be stuck in the house. I'm every single day. I will I'll just shop for groceries a day at a time, or you know, I'll go see a movie, just something to get her out of the house, or I'll go for a little walk. And that seems like, yeah, you want to be home because home is great, but you don't want to just be home because then you become a weird shut-in.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that's a part of this theory that I don't know if it's... I just know this theory exists that, like, if you want to live long, you have to earn it. And she, like, seems like she's doing it. She's going out and living, whereas I feel like maybe the three of us, maybe just me, like, I don't really earn it. I would like to just stay at home and order in.
I know what you're saying, but then also I think like that's like a human condition to think that about you're always going to think that about yourself, that you're not doing it the right way or whatever,
right.
Too. I think that could be a part of it. But you know, I don't like the pressure of like you gotta go out, like that pressure, that stuff is kind of annoying too.
Yeah, I know
or what like
you mean.
In college or something, they're like or not even or like in your 20s or something, like you gotta come out, dude. Like you need to come out, and sometimes you just don't want to. Some nights you don't want to go out.
Right.
Those friends do not fucking last long in my life. The friends are like, are you texting, like making sure I've confirmed. I'm like, I'm not going. If I said no, like what are you doing?
Right. Yeah.
Just understand. Wait, we were just talking about eating dinner early, and I'm curious where you guys stand on this, because when I first moved out here, I could not believe that people eat dinner at 8 p.m., 9 p.m., and it's so, like, 8 p.m. is so standard to everyone, I feel like, and for me, my, like sweet spot of eating dinner is 5, maybe 6. I'm curious where you guys stand.
5's a little early, but I'll do 5. I will tell you, for a long time, I was an 8 to 10 p.m. dinner person for a long time. Where are you from originally?
Chicago.
Chicago, okay. So, yeah, and, you know, growing up, our family was always like 7 p.m. Like, we'd have dinner right at 7 p.m. And as an adult, I kind of just got like a little later. There was a time when I was staying up till 3 a.m. routinely. So, yeah, I'd eat dinner between 8 and 10 p.m. Now, 6 p.m. I think is perfect.
Yeah.
If I get a dinner at 6, be in bed by 10, that's the dream.
I'm usually between 7 and 8 is when I want to have it. Sometimes it's in the 8 o'clock hour, and I also know that it's bad. Like, I don't want to eat that late ever.
Yeah.
But I always eat, like, I mean, I have, like, lunch at 1, and I just feel like I'm never hungry at 5 or even 6 to eat again.
Yeah, so. I guess if you're having a decent lunch. No, I'm always hungry by 5. I'm not going to try to relate.
I wish that I ate earlier. I haven't eaten dinner yet tonight, and it's almost 9.
Wow.
So I will have.
Yeah, I haven't eaten dinner yet either.
I don't. Maybe we'll go get something afterwards.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
The
got a little date going.
The thing that, like, I feel like 5 is a little early for me, but I will say that I'm working a job. The job I'm working now, once or twice a week, we tape 2 shows, and then so the way the union meal breaks work out, we end up getting a dinner break at 4:30, which is like insanely early.
Mm-hmm.
But and I feel like, man, it's so fucking early to eat a fucking dinner at 4:30. But I'm able to eat a full meal easily. Like,
yeah.
Even if I had lunch at 1 and then it's 4:30, and I feel like it's way too early for dinner, I can easily eat a full.
Absolutely.
Your body's just ready for dinner. Yes. Once the evening is coming around.
This is at midnight.
At midnight.
Okay,
yeah.
I didn't know if you were trying to keep that private for any sort.
No,
of reason.
It's not. There's not. I just said there's no particular reason to disclose it.
Yeah,
but I don't care. It's where I work.
Yeah, the same with my holiday party. I didn't feel the need to disclose it, but you did just throw it out there.
Hey, I'm an open book. I'm going to tell people what they want to know. They're going to hear it.
That's good. So Nick, you work at midnight. That's how I met you.
Right.
And Mitch,
how did we officially meet? I guess probably through, maybe through Harris.
Yeah.
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 At some point. Yeah.
We're talking eating early. Okay,
right.
Question. Do you guys believe in food hangovers? Because this is part of why I don't like to eat late at night.
Oh, yeah.
Because I wake up the next day with a hangover.
What, like from eat? Because you don't drink.
No, I've never drank. So some people will argue, like, you don't even know the concept of a hangover. You don't get to say that. But I'm like, no, if I eat, like, breadsticks and pizza at 11 o'clock at night, the next day I'm really kind of messed up.
What feeling are you describing specifically, like physically?
My stomach hurts. I'm tired. Like, it's so hard to get out of bed. Just lethargic. I just don't feel good.
Right.
Also, I loved how much, like, you really put emotion into this right now. That was great. Yes, I believe that those exist. I feel like, especially like kind of like if you're doing like a lot of bread or like a lot of carbs, I'll feel kind of like shitty the next day. Not like an alcohol hangover. I think those are the worst, and I like sometimes pray to God that I die. Like
really?
In the moment, I'm like, I would like rather be dead. Like there's moments where I'm like, have you ever had that when you're sick or you're feeling pain?
Yes.
Where you're like, I just like if I was dead, I wouldn't feel any of this. I wouldn't feel any of this, and it wouldn't matter. I wish I would, like, at that moment. I wish I was dead.
I feel like that's kind of my default feeling.
I will say I was once. I remember my dad's 70th birthday dinner. I did feel that way, and I said, "I was like, you all. I wish I was dead." It was whatever.
It was your dad like, "Happy birthday!"
But no, period cramps. Sorry, guys, but that does sometimes make me feel that way.
Okay.
That's. Was it a movie or was it? I was reading something where like there were like a. This woman said, like, oh, like, I'm having morning sickness, which is like being hungover without having had a drink the night before.
That sounds miserable.
And I'm like, ugh, is that what morning sickness is like? That's terrible.
That sounds
like,
awful.
That sounds awful, right? Like that sounded insane.
There's definitely some of the worst times I've felt in my life or when I've been actually hungover. I can relate to that, but I've had like way too much to drink and just felt like shit.
What does this mean, felt like shit? Like nauseous?
For me, it's like a pounding headache on one side of my head. For whatever reason, it's like either I think that's, it's similar to what people who get migraines. I don't get migraines, but similar to what people who get migraines experience. Just like it's centered on one side of the head, just sort of like just generally dazed. I feel like I haven't slept, like I've been up all night, because mm-hmm. you don't get restful sleep when you're super drunk. Like your body just doesn't, I don't know whatever it is, but it just you don't sleep in the same way.
Yeah, you don't get the REM, you don't get into the deep sleep.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm also like, I feel like I'm going to throw up. Like I feel very nauseated, but I'm also super hungry. So I have to like force bad food into my body to just sort of sop everything up. It's a pretty miserable feeling when you're truly like just like crazy hungover from getting blackout drunk. I don't really do that anymore, but now I'll have like an extra glass of wine and then I'll be hungover the next day, and that like feels really lame by comparison.
Yeah, like I've had bad hangover moments where it's maybe like the worst. Like I remember I had whooping cough, and I got like
is that for dogs?
It's usually for children. But also it's like very bad for like, cuz it can kill kids, I feel yeah. like. But I got whooping cough, and I remember like that was like a fever that I had like as an adult where I was like, "Whoa, like this is fucked up." And even that was maybe like, and that sucks because it's like, you know, like a week or whatever. And I was just sick for a week, and being sick is like the most depressing thing. I hate being sick.
I know, me too.
It's like, and that's like it makes me so depressed. But there's been some hangovers that have been like so bad that I'm like, this is the worst, more bad than I remember I was in Montreal for Just for Laughs, and I did this talk show that I did called What's Going On, and me and Mike Cassidy went to like this after hours like club or whatever, and I was just taking shots of like whiskey at the front, and then like I like at the end it was like, oh my god, like I like the guy was like, you drank like almost the whole bottle.
Jesus.
And I
Christ.
Was like, and like I feel like I was, for whatever, like I was like depressed for whatever reason,
right?
And then I went outside and I asked some girl if I could get a kiss, and she politely said no.
If you could get a kiss.
Like, may I kiss you? And she's like, no. And then...
Real alpha move.
oh, no. It was the most pathetic thing. It was the most pathetic thing on earth. And she felt very bad for me. Mike Cassidy was like leading me along.
Do you think do you think it's an alpha move to ask for a kiss? I feel like alpha is just to go get it.
Or no, I was being sarcastic.
Oh, okay.
I figured you were, but I also had to make it clear that I was.
Yeah. No, I get it.
I went into the elevator at the hotel and I started just peeing. Like, Cassidy told me that I was peeing on the door.
Jesus.
And he stopped me, and then like a man walked out. So this is like the most drunk I ever was. And then I remember waking up gagging on, I was choking on my vomit when I woke up. And so like, I nearly died. And then I was like, remember I threw up into the sink and I was just like pushing it down with my hand. It was awful. Yeah. I know. I'm sorry. But I wanted to tell you,
yeah.
The next morning, I thought that I was going to die, and Harris Whittles and Mike Cassidy, like, I feel like saved, like they like got me water, and like I couldn't move, like I like couldn't do anything, like every second I was just like, I was concentrating on like my heart beating. It was insane.
Oh. Yeah,
it was like the worst pain I've ever it was really, really
was
bad.
This all because you had drank so much, or also whooping cough?
No, there was no whooping cough involved with this. This is all just because I drank too much.
Really? So you weren't even sick?
I wasn't. No, I was so hungover. Like I was like, I threw up and felt like death. Like every inch of my body felt awful. Ugh. And like I was saying, like whooping cough, when I had like a terrible high fever with whooping cough, was like the only thing that like felt close to it. And I still feel like I probably, if it was just a day of having the worst of whooping cough or having like that worst hangover, I would choose the whooping cough.
Yeah.
I think. It was awful.
I feel like what you're describing is so much worse than a hangover. Like your body like wanted to die or something.
There was probably some.
You're dealing with alcohol poisoning.
I was dealing with some alcoholic poisoning, probably. Yes.
But the line is kind of blurred because I feel like fundamentally what the hangover is it's like mild alcohol.
It's
poisoning.
Mild alcohol.
Your body
for sure.
is rejecting it, and then in a more extreme form, you've got like this violent vomiting and trembling, and you know, you feel like you're going to die.
That is almost like a thing for me. Is like, my dad was like, when I was in like high school and college, like he didn't care that I drank, but he didn't like that I drank. Like he didn't want me, and he especially didn't want me drink like on weekends, he would be like, okay, fine, whatever. But he, like if it was more than like a couple nights a week, he would be like, he'd be like, don't do anything stupid. Like, he wouldn't want me to drink. And I think it was just a family issue. But here's the thing is I can't do that. I get too ill. Like, I can't, like I could never even get myself to become an alcoholic because I just feel so sick.
Yeah.
Right.
After if I do it for like three days or like 4 days or something in a week or in a row or whatever now, I can't function. I feel so sick. I can't even like put the alcohol in my mouth to drink. Like, I can't do it.
That's good.
Yeah. I think it's a good thing. But are you sim? I mean, like, you don't even,
I call myself, I think I actually,
but you do casual, I do, will have a casual drink.
I think I qualify as a heavy drinker because of my continuous casual alcohol consumption. Because honestly, I will have 2 drinks every night.
Yeah.
I'm having a glass of wine with dinner. And then another glass to follow it up, or I'm just having like I had a long day of work, I'm having a glass of whiskey, and then I'll have another. That's just a habit for me is just to have 2 drinks. Or if I'm going out, I'll get a round, and then I'll have another round at home. So yeah, I think I used to drink alcohol. I used to binge drink to blackout levels a bunch, basically from high school through college and then through my mid-20s. I was doing that pretty frequently, and I don't really do that anymore. There have been a couple occasions where I've just gotten
I wouldn't go to blackout mode that often. I would get drunk, but and more so now. I feel like now as you get older, you're like, oh, getting buzzed is like the
sweet spot
is you're supposed to get buzzed.
Yeah. You sort of have 3 drinks and you're just sort of like feeling good. And you know, if you go to 4 or 5, things are going to start to go south. So like you just have to try to find that sweet spot and live in that groove.
And you probably had the same issue with me as it was just that like there was like, you know, like smaller guys or girls can have like a couple, like 3 or 4 drinks and be like, I'm drunk. And you're like, you used to be a big fat porker.
Right.
And I'm a bigger guy. So it's like that sort of thing of like, it just takes more alcohol.
Yeah.
And then that makes you feel more like shit.
I'm 6'1", and at my heaviest, I was like 225. So I was a pretty, I think I was like just over the threshold of obese. I was a bigger guy, and definitely like, you know, I could take down a 6-pack without flinching. It was pretty common for me. But yeah, I would also just get like completely shit-faced and just, you know, that was just a pretty common thing for me. Part of it is also too, and not to go too far down this path, but part of the reason I drink at night is because I have chronic sleep problems, I have insomnia, and one of the only ways I can get my brain to turn off with any reliability is to get a little buzzed. So that also became a habit. That's probably a very bad habit that I've just conditioned myself to need alcohol to go to sleep at night.
Yeah, it sounds alcohol dependent. Yeah.
I think I am. I think it is. I think definitely it is.
And I have sleep apnea, so we both have.
Do you really?
We all have some night stuff. Yeah.
Do you wear the mask?
Not like I should. My issue is the cats have been a really hard issue with the sleep apnea mask, and they are like attacking the cord.
Oh, really?
And okay. it's been really, really bad. And I'm like, maybe soon they won't be like kittens and they won't be dumb attacking this thing. But like, it's been a while, and so it's been hard to use it. So
do they sleep in the same room as you?
Yeah, I let them because they're little babies, and I feel bad.
Oh, it's my puppy. I'm scared she'll shit and piss in the bed if I let her sleep with me. But you don't have that problem.
No, cats, the litter box, they'll go in and they'll use the litter box.
They just get it right away, they know.
It's really crazy how quick, like, they're, when I first, because I had them as, like, baby kittens, they were, like, a few weeks old.
How did you end up with these kittens?
My ex-girlfriend, who I'm still close with, is a very great person. She told me about these cats, and she, like, sent me an Instagram of them or whatever, and I was like, I don't want to.
While you were dating, or
no, this is after. Oh. Yeah,
I feel like every guy I meet with cats, it's like a thing that it got through a breakup.
Yeah, this was after this is after we had broken up. But she sent me an Instagram picture of these little kittens, and then they were going to a kill shelter. Like the lady, because I was like, oh, these cats. So like I contacted the lady, and she said that they were going to like, they were sending them to like a shelter that like is a kill shelter, even though it's like so hard and kittens like never Like, it almost never happens to kittens, but they were, like, so cute that I was like, I can't let this happen.
Yeah.
And I got attached, and I was like, I'm gonna like, go and get them, and then I'll make sure that they get homes or whatever. That was my plan. So I, like, went and got these cats, and I was like, I found someone to give them to. I found this girl who was in UCB who was going to take them both. She was down to take both of these kittens, and I was like, this is great. And then I got a call from the same girl, and she's like, there's one more. It's a part of the litter, and we're going to send it to the thing if someone doesn't take it. And I was like,
but why is your ex-girlfriend, like, trying to get you?
Oh, no, this wasn't the ex-girlfriend. This is the same lady who I, like, went and got them from.
Oh, but even so, why did your ex-girlfriend?
She was just kind of like sending it, being like, look at how cute these cats are. They don't have a home. I don't think it was malicious or intentional.
She knows you love cats. You had cats growing up.
I love cats. I had cats growing up, and I love cats. And I was like, and so, and maybe she thought I could help her or whatever. And I was like, and I did want to help. And I did find them homes. That's the funny thing is I found a home. The thing that kind of threw a wrench in my plan is the lady from the shelter was like, there's another one that we're going to send to, like, this kill. Because it was an animal hospital and they were going to send it to this kill shelter. So I was like, okay. And then I picked up that one and I liked hanging out with these two little kittens. So I talked to the girl who was going to take them and I was like, here, you take this one for the weekend.
Uh-huh.
I'll get to spend more time with them. I'm going to find a home for the other one, which I did. I found a home for the one.
Uh-huh.
And then at the end of that weekend, she's like, I've grown too attached to the one. I want to keep them. And then I was like, now, and then so I had these two cats and the other guy only wanted one. And I was just like, this is a mess. And I've grown too, like, I love these cats now.
Right.
So I kept the cats and it was a great, you know, one of the great decisions. I love them both. They're great to have.
So you have two.
I have two. Yeah. Two cats.
Aww. Wally and Irma.
Wally and Irma. Nick knows all about them. They're great.
They're great cats.
They're great cats. Yeah. So you've met them.
I met them. Yeah.
Yeah.
They didn't, one of them didn't like me.
No, Wally's just afraid of. Wally's afraid of ever. He became afraid, which was weird because he was never shy, but like he became a little shy as like a teen or whatever the hell he is now.
So you guys on your podcast, like we talked about, you guys eat at a chain restaurant every week or however often you do it. Is this affecting your life at all? Like taking a toll?
Yeah, that's a good question. I was in denial about it for a while and I kind of realized over the, I'm trying to overcorrect at this point with my other eating habits, but I realized over the course of the year, I did gain probably 5 to 10 pounds of just from virtue of eating shitty food constantly. And then that being like having one kind of like very unhealthy kind of blowout style meal, because we're usually eating a little bit more food than a normal person would in the interest of just like trying to taste different things and test different things that we can discuss on the show. So by having like that plus just like my normal diet, I was putting on additional weight. And also too, I think it just kind of wore on us emotionally a little bit, because mentally it's just kind of like, there's one thing about like having your big cheat meal be like something you love, and there's something else about having it be like, oh, I'm going to a restaurant that's not very good and I'm eating something that's not even like satisfying any sort of craving. I'm just sort of like putting unhealthy gunk in my body that's just like mentally destructive.
Yeah, it's taken a terrible toll on us. I just feel like it's my eating habits have become so bad because of it. Because like,
yeah.
I still do bad cheat meals even with this thing.
Right.
Because they're not, the meals aren't satisfying like they should be half the time.
It's not what you had a taste for.
It's not what
you had. Which I'm really big on. You have to eat exactly what you have a taste for or you will never be satisfied.
1,000%. You're not checking that box or whatever. So it's that weird thing of like, oh, we're not checking this box, but then we're also having like this like unhealthy, huge, gigantic fucking meal that's not great. And like I do have to change that up, because and then also like it just made me more likely to like go and get fast food, which I'm like, oh, whatever, like I want the Wendy's sandwich because like we're always talking about fast food.
I did already ate a lot of Del Taco and ate a good amount of Wendy's, but I definitely, my consumption of Wendy's went up quite a bit by virtue of this podcast, because we talk a good amount about how good Wendy's is, which is something we both agree on.
It is so good.
And I find myself wanting it more and thinking about it more.
Really? I love McDonald's too.
I do too. Wendy's I don't hit up that much anymore. I was doing a lot of like broadcasting on Periscope last year, and one thing I would always do is go through a drive-thru and like broadcast myself eating in my car, and that that, just that, where it's like not even always about that, but it was something that would make me do it more, was taking a toll.
Right.
I would go to Wendy's a lot for a Frosty, which I don't know if you guys like Frosties, but
love Frosties.
I always ask for a vanilla, 70% vanilla with 30% chocolate on the bottom. Which
that's a good move. They,
yeah, that's such a funny breakdown too. Yeah.
They don't always get it right, mm-hmm. but.
Has anyone ever gotten it so right that you're like, they got it perfectly right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's good.
Happened.
That's great.
That's kind of how I, yeah, it kind of happened on an accident where I asked for half and half and they gave me a lot less chocolate and I was like, oh, that's what I want.
The vanilla, I don't know if I've ever had the vanilla frosting.
It's so good.
That's my go-to.
Yeah, so many people don't even know it exists.
I used to go chocolate.
I mean, the chocolate frosty is what is great itself, so.
I used to go chocolate. I mean, that's just kind of my shake choice in general is vanilla. I will go with vanilla over chocolate.
I don't know if you can call it a shake, though. Well, it's a Frosty's.
Right, it's like a frozen treat.
You almost got mad at me there.
I did. No, it's fair. We had this discussion before on our show, and I was wrong. Frosties are not really shakes. They're Frosties. They have a different texture.
Just in my mind, shake is something you drink with a straw,
yeah.
always.
Would you consider a Frosty soft serve?
I think it treads the line between soft serve and shake.
I think it's kind of nothing like a shake because it's not blended.
Mm. It's not like a shake because you don't drink as you have to drink a shake.
But it's not quite the same texture as a soft serve.
It's not. It's obviously like lighter.
Yeah.
Like more liquid.
I don't know. I'm not sure what I'd call it. It's a Frosty.
Yeah.
That's the...
They did it. They made their own thing.
Yeah. It is funny though because they almost... It is kind of marketed almost like a shake. Like it feel... You're right that it's like not talked about like it's soft serve. It doesn't feel like they talk about it like ice cream. It is like you're saying, it's its own thing. Like, it is such its own thing.
It occupies the shake slot on their menu.
Yeah. Hats off to Dave Thomas.
He did. Yeah, that guy's a great man.
So you guys have done all, like, how many episodes? A lot?
We're probably nearing 100. Like, we're in the, like,
yeah,
we're in like
coming
our
near
80s
that.
Or something.
You know what? I'm going to check real quick.
I think we're in our 80s.
I think we're in the 80s.
That's a lot.
I'm going to say 86.
Yeah. As of we're recording this now, we've had 81 out.
Oh, 81.
Yeah.
So if you guys have done 81 episodes, what do you have, like, a favorite experience? A favorite chain restaurant or, like... I don't know. Like, if someone came up to you and was like, I don't really go to chain restaurants a lot. Where should I go?
Well, yeah. Our episode with you is one of our favorite.
Oh, that was a great episode. We had a great experience.
No,
with you.
Not the that episode. The meal, guys.
No,
thank you.
When we got Esther in the studio, we talked about Wood Ranch. That was a real highlight of the Doughboys experience.
It was, for sure.
Getting you in this exact configuration. It's all in the same chairs. Oh boy, it's like we're tasting a memory right now. Reliving one of the great days of our lives.
No, but seriously, guys, a great meal.
Right, great meal.
Do you know what I remember?
What?
And it's funny because, like, I think we did give it five forks or whatever, but... And it's also funny, I mean, like, the guest is a guy I see all the time, Cal Packus, but I really liked going to Morton's.
Morton's the Steakhouse was a blast. We went for lunch.
Yeah.
I liked Morton's, but it was just like we had a great time.
We just
sort of went there, and the three of us, we had a long we had a great long conversation. The service was very nice. The restaurant was pretty empty. They were super attentive. Mm-hmm. The food was like, we got like lunch portions, but it was still like high quality food.
Yeah.
That was a great meal.
That
I had
was
a great time
meal,
at Morton's.
Because I feel like... Like, you know, when you rate it or whatever, you do, like, we've talked about this, you got to use some of your experience of going there before.
Yeah.
And, like, a lot of the places, like, will have good food, but the sit-down situation is not great, so... For Morton's, it was one of those ones that it's like, oh, this is a nice, we're sitting down for lunch and this is nice and I'm enjoying this. And there's a few others that have been like that, but like not too, I mean, like, I like.
That was a great meal experience. Well, because also you and I don't necessarily always have the meal with the guests. Like sometimes that happens, but like Esther on our episode, we all went independently and then we discussed our individual experiences. So it happens that way. I mean, just like in terms of favorite chains, I would say probably Hillstone, which we talked about. We talked about Bandera before.
Yeah,
Bandera is in the Hillstone family. Fantastic. I would say on my Mount Chainmore, I'd put Hillstone, Del Taco, In-N-Out Burger, and I would say Buffalo Wild Wings right now occupies the
Buffalo
fourth
Wild
slot.
Wings
I love
B-Dubs. Great.
It's great. Wow. I have a great time
Selman
every
took
time
us
I
and
go
used
there.
So many of his cards too. Matt Selman,
yeah.
Used a bunch of his that's one that sticks out.
That was really good.
But Outback Steakhouse sticks out a little bit.
Outback Steakhouse was good. We did with John Gabris. You know, when I was and we went with Jack Allison, our buddy, to eat there. But you know one that sticks out in my mind? We did an episode with Eugene Cordero and we did L&L Hawaiian Barbecue. And that was one where I was just like, I'd had it before, but having it with him and discussing it with Eugene, and I just had a great meal. The food was really good, and it was kind of one where it's like sometimes you get those that kind of are unexpectedly delights. And I was eating there, and I hadn't had it in a while, and I was like, this is fucking great. And then we talked about it on the podcast, and we all gave it four forks, and it was in the Golden Plate Club, which is one of our dumb hierarchies that we designate on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
That's one that sticks out in my mind of just like that was an unexpectedly delightful experience.
We were talking about this recently on the podcast. Of all the pleasures in the world, we were arguing that food and eating is the best one.
Yeah
for sure.
I think that's
how we felt too. Like it was like between like I guess it's like drugs and booze and sex and food and I guess but drink goes into food too, right?
Yeah, like, they kind of are the same. I mean, they're the similar category.
Yeah, besides like the happiness of like life of like. The kittens, me kissing the like, or keeping, or like a mother giving birth to a child, or
sure.
something like I'm like, I think food might be top. I think we talked about this, that food and eating is up there, which makes sense.
I totally agree.
Yeah. What do you call that? Like the simple delights category, like things that are just like easily accessible that anyone and everyone can kind of do.
Yeah,
like eating,
a survival.
Sleeping.
Yeah.
Exercise,
is
I guess.
Good too. Fuck, I forgot about sleep.
Sleeping's great.
Sleeping is good, but it's not as good as eating.
Yes, no, yeah. eating beats sleeping.
Yeah. Eating's the best.
You know what? I talked about people shaming you for staying in. I get sleep shamed a lot, which is funny. I get sleep shamed a lot because I'm like, oh, you're a lazy guy. You sleep too much. In reality, I don't think I sleep as well or as much as other people.
It's
like, as
you
well
have
as
sleep apnea.
Yeah, you don't sleep soundly.
But I'm saying like as much as anyone. Like that's and so many people are like, he's probably asleep or something. And I'm like, it's that funny thing where I'm like, you probably get everyone else I know probably gets a better night's sleep than I do always.
I think what it is your schedule. Because
my schedule is sloppy.
You're in your 30s and you are someone who like will get up at like 11.
Which that does annoy me.
Yeah.
Like my girlfriends that still like I text them at 9 and I don't hear back till noon. They're like just woke up. I'm like, bitch, you're 28 now. What's going on?
Right.
That I can't stand. But
yeah.
I also like part of me sort of is like, oh, that does seem kind of magical and it's like a way to feel young and fun.
I mean, like I've always been such a night person.
Yeah.
I remember my dad was like when he was like a little bit, when I was like younger, when I was like in my teens or whatever. And he was like, I just became a morning person at one point.
Mm-hmm.
But then he would get up at like 5 or 6 or whatever. I'm just like, ugh. Like if I get like eight hours of sleep in one night and then I wake up at like 5, I'm still like, ugh, this sucks.
Right.
Like it doesn't feel good to me. And that's what, like my natural time of waking up, I feel like is around 10. Like, I feel like that is just kind of like in the 10 o'clock hour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I know that that's bad. I want to change that, but like, it just kind of feels like the natural thing. Like, obviously, I have to wake up at 5 a.m. a lot for work, this industry. You gotta, like, that happens all the time. But,
mm-hmm.
but like the most natural time to wake up is around 10 or something. So
I will say I had a job where I had to wake up at 5 a.m. like 3 days in a row, and it fucked me up for like 10 days after.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I could not catch up. I never take naps, and I was napping in the middle of the day that weekend. Like, it just fucked me up.
I was a garbage man one summer, and they changed the schedule to where we had to be there at 5, like halfway through the summer.
Man, getting at there at 5 is rough.
Yeah, we had to be there. I had to be there at 5, but then we would get off of work at like 2 or something.
Uh-huh.
I think it was 2, which is also kind of great because that's a 9-hour day, but. That's an hour for lunch or whatever, but like it was 5 to 2 p.m. and instead of like 8 to 5 p.m. or something, you
mm-hmm.
know, and it was that, like, I did that for like a few weeks, and then I was like, I'm done. Like I had to stop doing it. Like it was too much. Not to mention that I was like driving around on the back of a garbage truck.
Yeah.
throughout Boston.
Right.
The 5 o'clock thing was like, I would get home and I would just like fall asleep on the couch watching Red Sox. Like I couldn't do anything else. Like I was so tired.
That was such a Boston story.
It really was.
That was cool.
That was the most Boston I ever was then, that summer.
You're saying this is a man who's currently wearing a Celtics jacket and a Patriots hat.
That was the most Boston. That was like right before, I guess that's probably like a couple years before the Red Sox won the championship. I was a Boston guy at that point in my life. It was great.
Yeah.
I gotta go back.
Maybe you should.
I'm gonna jump on the back of a garbage truck and head back right now.
I think it takes a certain kind of person to be able to work nights or work super early mornings. I mean, I have to get up at 5:30 3 days a week at midnight, and that's really tough for me because because we have to be in there at 7:30. Because the show tapes at like 3.
No points for that, huh?
Yeah, exactly. But that's like tricky for me because it's not that I'm not a morning person. I'd say I'm like a mid-morning person. Mm-hmm. I used to be like a guy who'd wake up at 10 or 11 or even noon routinely when I was younger. But now these days I'm like, I probably naturally wake up at 7:30 or 8, but
good.
Yeah, but when I like, it's still like a struggle when I have to get up that fucking early.
Yeah,
and also I worked the graveyard shift for a time when I was a video game tester. We were doing night shifts because they would just, there were only so many computers and video game consoles. Mm. So they when the day shift was done, they'd bring in an evening shift, and then there'd also be a graveyard shift. So basically 24 hours a day, someone was at the Activision headquarters in their filthy basement playing video games to test them out during the rush season. And graveyard shift, I thought like at the time I was like, oh, I can deal with this. And I just could not. My body was just rejecting it. It was so fucking hard to work from midnight to 7:30, or it might have been 8.
That's
with a half hour lunch. It was just so, my body was just not allowing me to do it.
I was a doorman at the Snake Pit. You know the Snake Pit on Melrose? It's Melrose. Yeah. And my first year out here or whatever, I took up a job as like the doorman, and someone hooked me up with it. Also, the lady there sucked. I will say that openly. She sucked.
Yeah.
And she,
the bar like, manager or the owner?
Yeah, she was like a manager slash owner.
Okay.
She didn't split tips with the doorman.
Oh, that sucks.
And you sat outside in the cold all night and ID'd people, and then she didn't split tips, and like the pay was like terrible. And then like you would wrap up around 3, and now I feel like I'm even like worse now than I was then, but like I would be like going home at 3:30 and then like kind of be wired because it was after work, and I'd stay up till like 4 or 5 in the morning.
Yeah.
And that's crazy. And then you sleep till like noon or whatever.
You can't go straight to bed after work. And that was what I found even when I was working graveyard shift. I was like, oh, well I'll just go home and go straight to bed, and then I'll wake up and I'll have that. But no, I'd go home and then I'd be up for a couple of hours, and then now all of a sudden I'm going to bed at like 10 or 11 a.m. and then trying to sleep with the light coming through the shitty Venetian blinds in my shitty apartment. And then like,
well, that's your fault.
Yeah. And then like waking up at like,
what are Venetian blinds again?
Aren't those the ones that...
The vertical ones.
The vertical lines.
But then, you know, like waking up at like 7 or 8 p.m. and it's like almost time to go to fucking work. It was horrible.
Well, it's funny too because like no one is like, I'm done with work. And then like they don't walk home and like get into their covers.
It's just not real.
When I first moved out here and I first started stand-up, I would hang out at the Comedy Store, and I would get there like 9 o'clock at night and stay till 2 a.m. and like, you know, around the final hour of the night, like I would always hang out and do stuff on stage, and just it would be like a wild party.
Right.
And I did that for about 2 years. And I just remember like one day being like, I'm so depressed all the time. Oh, it's because I sleep all day.
Yeah.
And I think that has had this reaction in me where now if I ever sleep like past 10, I'm like scared that I'm going to go back to my old ways, and I think that's why I'm really strict.
That's
about.
Good. I hope that will happen to me at some point. I feel like I've been worse this last year, but I feel like comedian slash actor, right, whatever this field or whatever that we're in, like it's like one step removed from like my friends back in Quincy who work in bars and stuff, and like that is like like restaurants and bar work, that is like such a thing where you're like up till like 3 or 4 in the morning.
Yeah, that's a tough job.
And then you're like, you know, you start your day, like you have to sleep till like 11 or 12, or you have to, like you're going to bed at 5 or yeah. whatever. So
you're a doorman, you're a bouncer. Esther, mm-hmm. did you ever work in the food service industry at all?
I did. I worked at Johnny Rockets.
Okay.
And I worked in Maggiano's.
But just,
I just did carry out at Maggiano's.
Okay.
But I was a server at Johnny Rockets.
What was that like? What was the Johnny Rockets clientele like?
They were very sweet. I mean, this was in Skokie, Illinois.
Okay.
Can I admit something to you?
Yeah.
I don't like Johnny Rockets at all.
Wow.
What?
Yeah,
why?
I know. I don't know.
What's wrong with Johnny Rockets?
I don't know. Johnny Rockets, I'm just like, I never liked it. Like, everyone is always like Johnny Rockets, let's go to Johnny Rockets. And I eat Johnny Rockets, and I'm like, eh, I just don't care for it that much. And like, I remember it being a big deal that I went, like when it came to like the Braintree Mall in Massachusetts, and like I went to like the Johnny Rockets, and I was like, this sucks, kind of. I mean, like also maybe it's the area, like it's the specific Johnny Rockets, but come
what
on.
What didn't you like? I love the vibe. I love the chili cheese fries. That's the only chili cheese fries I've ever really had. And
they're
the Oreo milkshake is like, that's the
they
best.
They got good pie there too.
You know
yeah,
what?
And they put a slice of cheese on it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what? Know what does Johnny Rockets 1,000 times better than Johnny Rockets ever could? Mel's Drive-In.
You like Mel's
what?
Over Johnny Rockets?
I'll take Mel. I'll give me, because Mel's is authentic. Mel's is like, feels like the real deal. Like Johnny Rockets is like.
I want you to be right so bad, but I don't agree. I feel like that's what I wanted Mel's to be when I first discovered it. But it's like always so depressing inside. And
that's what makes it real. It's a real like, it's a real Sunset Boulevard. Like it was a part of that. Like Johnny Rockets is the fake version of that. You know what I mean? Like it's
but,
like.
Yeah.
To me, I feel like it could be that if it wasn't like mean old waitresses, and it was like if I was working at Mel's, it would be what I want it to be, like a young, friendly person.
Yeah,
with
yeah.
like peppy and excited to be there.
We gotta youthen up those Mel's drive-in waitresses, I guess. I like it though.
I can't speak to the food. I don't remember. Do you?
The food, they just do like a good. I feel like they do a good breakfast there. Like a mm-hmm. I feel like diner food in LA can be hugely miss or hit or miss, but like it can hugely miss sometimes. And like even the places that people are like, these are really good, are like Fred 62's and Cafe 101.
Right.
And when it comes to those two, give me House of Pies over both of them. I like a House of Pies over either one of those, because like that to me is like the kind of like shitty real diner food that I actually do enjoy.
Yeah, I like a little bit of a grimier place.
Yeah,
as far as a diner, there's a couple of great places on the West Side. One is Ray's, which is it's got like this authentic. I think it was built in the 50s, and it's got this authentic architecture. Whatever that fucking, I don't know what this name's, different styles of architecture, but you know that kind of neo-futurism that was around in the
50s? Yeah.
Like, it looks like that. It's fucking, and it's great. We went there this past weekend, and there's another one, Teddy's. I think they're related because they have very, very similar menus, but they're kind of like, I mean this in a good way, they're kind of like, they kind of dingy and grimy. Like, they've got like that little bit of like, you can tell they've been operating for 50, 60 years.
I love that.
And that's kind of the character I feel like you want in a diner. The thing with Mel's is just like, I don't want to ever fucking go to where a Mel's is.
Yeah.
Yes, there's no, I get that. The locations are bad,
yeah.
For sure. They got good parking, though. I look forward to the day. Just imagine when you're like an old man or an old woman, and you just go to the diner, like that seems like nice.
Yeah, no,
right.
I get it. Yeah,
like you go to the like every day, you're like, I'm in the diner and I'm reading a paper and I'm having like an egg. That seems like a nice time.
Yeah.
When I first started comedy and like was doing shows at the Comedy Store, because it's near the Mel's.
Oh yeah. And Carney, did you hit up Carney's? The train that has hot dogs and burgers.
Carney's, yeah.
Yeah.
A guy came up to me after my show and was like, I want to introduce you to Richard Lewis. And I was like, okay, that's interesting. And he was like, meet me at Mel's. Like, it was like Saturday morning at like 9 a.m. And then we just like had breakfast. And I was like, oh, it's interesting that someone who you would wish to see at Mel's is actually at Mel's.
Yeah, that's great. Did Richard Lewis order a round of Boku for the table? Or no?
I don't remember what he ordered. I should. I regret that I don't.
That's a cool. That was he nice?
He was very nice. Yeah, he was.
That's
cool. Yeah.
Along those lines, my buddy saw at Mel's Rip Taylor. It's like exactly.
You guys are proving my point about males already.
No, it's interesting that like that generation of comedians is like they're similar generations yeah. of mm-hmm. comedians would be just like, oh, I'm just going to actually go to Mel's. It's weird. This kind of kitschy
yeah.
throwback place, but I guess it has its appeal.
But it's throwback, but it also was around back in the day. Like right. it's real. Johnny Rockets, what the fuck do they, what do they
Johnny
got?
Johnny Rockets, it's faux. It's faux. It's like it's an homage to those sorts of things. But I like the burgers. I like the fries. I think it gets the job done.
Also, if you're in the Midwest, you don't have Mel's. So
right.
when you come out here, Mel's is just this like California, LA thing. And, you know, Johnny Rockets is the real thing to me. You
yeah,
know?
I get
that's
that.
What I'm used to.
That's fair.
I also think they all kind of owe
you're from Chicago. Hold on a second.
What?
I feel like Chicago has so many of those. Like, they have that place where they're like,
hold on a second.
They have that place where they're like mean to you. Like
At DeBevics.
At DeBevics.
That's true. But that's
yeah.
in this. That's down in the city. I'm not really from the city. I'm from the suburbs. But yes, you're right. That is better.
They have sure. they have so many like diner-y
yeah,
places.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I was going to ask, is Comedy Store kind of like for me and Nick or whatever we came up at UCB? Is
yes,
that,
for me, yeah.
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 That's it. I went to, because when I was first out here, like in 2005, mm-hmm. Mike Hanford and I went around and looked to like at every place. And Comedy Store, we weren't really stand-ups or whatever. We
right.
were trying to get into stuff. But I went to a few Comedy Store shows and like, I feel like, and maybe this is the same with UCB at the time, but like it could be very hit or miss too. Like it could be like nothing could be there some nights and then other nights it would be like.
Totally.
That's how it was, yeah.
Yeah, and also.
I was just wondering about like the community over there, like how it kind of works.
It's pretty grimy. Like I became friends with a lot of homeless people. There's a homeless guy that just hangs out there and sells things that he stole for $1 and that's like how I got my bed sheets and all this stuff when I first moved out here. And it's definitely a seedier group, and mm-hmm. I do remember someone introduced me to Marc Maron. This was like in 2009 before he was famous again, and he was like, you shouldn't be here, you should be at UCB, and like took me to one of his UCB shows, and I was like, oh yeah, but then I didn't take his advice.
Oh, interesting. Oh, that's
stupid.
Funny that Marc was saying that then.
What?
That's funny that he was saying yeah. that back then. That's interesting.
Well, especially back then, the Comedy Store was there weren't even crowds on the weekends. Like it was
right.
I was gonna
so
say
yeah,
that's what I mean. Like no, I know the comedy store is legendary and stuff like that, but it did seem like, especially yeah, at that time, it felt like it was like it felt especially dead around that time.
I'm sure for when I got there in 2009, it was just so not cool and bad, and mm-hmm. and now in the last 2 years, it's just it's like it's popping again.
There was a homeless guy outside of UCB, and he used to help. Like he used to like a what's it called? Direct people into spots. Do you remember
yeah.
this guy? He was like an old prospector.
I think it was
looking
George.
Guy.
What was his name?
Yeah, I think it might have been George. He was like he like
yeah.
laughed like a prospector. Me and Mike Cassidy had like a big long talk with him one night, and he gave us both marbles, and I still have the marble that he gave us.
Wow.
And then he also talked about the last time that he had sex, and it was more recent than I had. but I haven't seen that guy in a long time.
If we're thinking of the same guy, as a sad ending to that story, he died alcohol poisoning.
Oh, no, that's yeah. not, it is not, because there's a different guy. You were thinking of the one who was on Franklin Boulevard.
Yes, yeah.
And he was bigger.
Yes.
Because the guy I'm thinking of is, no, because I remember when that guy passed away.
Okay, we're thinking of different men.
Yeah.
You know the guy who dresses like Jesus? He walks around Hollywood and Sunset Boulevard. He dressed in LA,
oh,
dressed
yeah.
like Jesus. So he's someone that hangs out at the Comedy Store. His
okay.
name's Kevin. And I was having a business lunch a few weeks ago, and he was at the restaurant. And he came up to me and was like, Esther. And I was like a little bit half embarrassed, but half like proud that this
yeah,
man
that's
me.
That. I think that's cool.
Yeah, it was like a throwback to my days as a Comedy Store. Okay, question I want to ask you guys while we're talking about diners and old-timey places.
I was also going to quickly
yeah,
say, don't worry, our story had a happy ending in that only one of the men died that we're sure of. It's so sad.
Whew, what a relief.
Yeah. Oh, I hope the other guy is doing well. But,
yeah.
I'm
yeah.
sure he's rehabilitated and is doing great. Old classic places in LA, food. What have you guys eaten at, and what is your opinion of this place in Pasadena called Pie and Burger?
We love it.
I haven't been to Pie and Burger.
Oh, you haven't been?
Never been to Pie and Burger.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Mr. LA hasn't been to
I've
Pie and Burger.
Here's the thing.
LA.
Pasadena is a bridge too far.
Fair.
That's insane.
No, I live in Santa Monica. Going to all the way to Pasadena is a little. I actually do really.
Why
want
are
to go
you?
To
are you?
I've heard.
I think I have
fantastic.
To go with you if you go because it is. It's that. That's like a. That's big.
It's legendary. Big. It's a place I've always wanted to go. I'll just. You know what? I'm just gonna fucking go this weekend. I'm gonna go to Pie and Burger this weekend.
That's
all right. I think
I'm
all of us are gonna come.
One part of my experience was that the burger was so good that I didn't even want the fries.
Wow.
That might also say the fries aren't that good.
I think the fries are okay. I don't think they're bad. Did you get a slice of pie?
Yeah, they were out of everything I wanted, but I did have banana, like, I almost want to say banana meringue.
That might have been one of them. They have a bunch of different meringues.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Our buddy Armin, I think,
really
says it's his favorite burger in LA. Am I wrong about that?
Here's what Armin says about it, is that he says that it's like a Big Mac, but like it's like similar to a Big Mac, but like if a like a dinery,
right?
Yeah, like a delicious dinery Big Mac, a version of a Big Mac, or like more so than Bob's or whatever. It's good.
I gotta
go. Kind of my favorite style of burger is like when a nice restaurant makes a fast food style burger really well. Have you been to Belcampo Burger?
Belcampo's great.
That's probably my favorite.
Yeah, Belcampo's that's a really good like high end burger. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's, you know, you're spending $20. And their fucking fries are delicious. They're fried in fat, and they're fucking great.
I've actually never been.
Yeah, Belcampo's great.
Belcampo makes a burger that isn't the style of like a McDonald's burger.
Yeah, I think their fast burger is what it is. Yeah, that's pretty good. But you can also get, they have fancier burgers, but I think I would stick to the beef there. I've had like their lamb concept, and it's just like the beef is better.
Do you know? There's kind of like a lot of old school places in the Pasadena. If you're going east, you can hit a lot of them. The rehearsal dinner for Cal Pacus was at this like great old restaurant that I forget the name of. But there's so many places like that. And then I feel like in Hollywood, I love Tam O'Shanter.
That's a blast.
Tam O'Shanter is one of my favorites. And what do you mean?
You don't like
what
Tam O'Shanter?
That's not my vibe.
Oh,
Tam O'Shanter is so good.
It's everyone's vibe.
No, it's like weird, creepy, old Irish. I just don't feel
Excuse
safe.
Me?
It's
That's great. What I'm going to become one day.
you're not going to become that restaurant, though. It's like scary in there to me.
Walt Disney loved it so much that he took his animators in there and they drew on the tables and they drew like sketches of characters on tables. Like,
are you serious?
Yeah, Walt Disney loved Tam O'Shanter.
It feels like prototypical Disney in there. It feels like
Disney. Yeah. Didn't he take some designs from Tam O'Shanter? Designed things after Tam O'Shanter.
I would actually enjoy the Disney designed version of Tam O'Shanter because then it's like, I know it's like sparkly, clean Disney, but there's something dirty about Tam O'Shanter.
No, you gotta give it another.
You gotta give it another go.
How about Yamashiro up on the hill?
I've never had that.
Oh, I think that's a kind of a fun old. I guess it's not as old, but it's pretty old.
That's just for the view, though, right? I've heard
it's
the
for
food's
the view.
Not
what
good.
Is it?
The food is okay though, and it's Yamashiro.
What?
It's like Japanese food, but it's like it has the like one of the best views of the city. And then I guess what's the other one on Hollywood Boulevard?
Musso and Frank's. Yeah, Musso and Frank's great. I want to back up to Tam O'Shanter real quick. Have you been during the holiday season?
No.
Okay, it's December right now when this episode's coming out, but you should go and observe some Christmas magic because there are carolers in there.
Observe some Christian magic.
I was going to say Christian magic. I'm an evangelical. I'm here to persuade you. It's so fucking, it's like so magical in there.
Yeah.
And they've got carolers going around within the restaurant and they're singing to you and it's decorated like
the
nines.
She's more creeped out.
Yeah, you're just scaring me. Further away.
Okay, all right.
You should go. It's legit one of the best.
It's a wonderland.
I think you're insane.
I can't believe how hard I disagree. I don't even know what to say.
I can't believe it either.
This is lunacy. Yeah, this is lunacy. You should be locked up, I think. What is a Hollywood classic place? I feel like that's the issue with Hollywood is that like no place lasts long enough. Like you have to go to the hotel on Hollywood Boulevard there, the Roosevelt or whatever. It's like old hotels
one.
And stuff, but like
Dantana's.
I've never been to, and I hear it's great. I gotta go to Dantana's, but like there's not many of those because they get wiped out. The competition kind of shuts them down. I feel like.
Yeah, no, that's true. I remember when I was like going through some of my dad's stuff, and I found this like travel case of his, and it had a match, a book of matches, and it said Chasen's on it, and I was like, oh, and in like Los Angeles, and I got like all excited. I was like a dorky little kid, and it was this restaurant that Alfred Hitchcock would go to, and it was like this cool Hollywood hotspot. Whoa. And I was like, I can't wait to go there, and of course it's like long gone. It
it's
made
long
me
gone.
Sad.
Yeah, it's a bummer. It happens too much in this city. Like, I think opposed to, like, Boston or something. I mean, there's some places in Boston that are very old and they suck, but there's other places, like there's some bars and stuff that you can go to that are, like, some of the oldest bars and stuff. But for the most part, like, a lot of those places, like Pizzeria Regina, I've told you millions of times, is, like, my favorite place on earth. And the one in the North End is, like, you know, super, super old. It's been there forever.
But there's also a little something like, I mean, you know, they're probably, I don't remember exactly when it was founded, or I don't know exactly when it was founded, but there are buildings in Boston that date to the 1600s, I'm sure.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, it's LA is a much newer area and it just has fewer historical landmarks to pull from.
That's another thing too. Yeah, I guess like the oldest restaurant you're going to is like what, like 70 or 80 years
old?
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. You know, one that comes to mind, and in the burger realm, over on the west side, the Apple Pan.
Great.
That place is fucking fantastic.
I was like, okay, this is fine.
Oh my
Esther,
God.
Wow.
What is going on?
Maybe I had a bad experience.
We were on the same page for so much of this. I think it's a tam o' shanter and Apple Pan.
Maybe it was just really undercooked for me, if I remember correctly.
You're maybe taking shots at, like, my two favorite things in all of Los Angeles.
I probably just had a bad experience then. I mean, I was with a little 10-year-old boy I was babysitting. Maybe I was just in a bad mood. But yeah. I don't know.
Well, shitty 10-year-old. The 10-year-old kids suck.
Well, no, he's a good kid.
I went to the Apple Pan with my wife once, and we're sitting next to this couple, and there was this British woman. And I remember she was eating the Apple Pan, which, like, me and Natalie are eating our burgers and just loving them so much. It's just like, this is so fucking good. And she, like ate her burger and was like, I don't much care for the sauce. And we were just both like, this fucking bitch. What's her fucking problem with the Apple Pan? We're, like, mad about it, like, driving home. Like, what the fuck was her
she
problem?
Probably got, it sounds like she got the one with the barbecue sauce on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it was probably a different flavor than she expected, the hickory burger.
Listen.
Which is,
It's
fucking great.
I always give you a hard time. I say you overrate everything. I get, like, complaints about Apple Pan, but when I eat it, I'm just like, I can't deny that Apple Pan. Like, even more than In-N-Out, I can't deny that Apple Pan is good.
It's great, yeah.
Is there a thing that they undercook them, or am I making that up?
I don't think so.
You maybe got a bad one, but you can ask there, too, if you want it a little more well done, I think.
I feel like mine are usually medium there.
Do you guys, have you ever eaten at that place Juicy Burger?
No,
but I know of Juicy Burger.
Yeah, I remember so you would always write your order on a piece of paper, and you'd check for what sauce, barbecue, honey mustard, whatever, and one box you could check that said no sauce, and that always upset me, because I was like, who fucking wants no sauce?
Who wants no sauce? That is bizarre. Juicy Burger reminds me of, I feel like there's, like, a lot of places that pop up all over the country like this, where you're like, I think Juicy Burger's supposed to be good, and then you go there and you're like, this kind of sucks.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's not.
It's a little trick. It's like one of the many trick restaurants, I feel like.
Yeah.
Those customizable places where you just have, like, a little bit of work to do, I feel like they're kind of the jack of all trades, master of none. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like there's they don't have, like, that killer item that you want.
I feel the way about Blaze Pizza. It's I don't really want to go back.
Right. Don't make me make so many decisions, too.
Yeah, we've said this before. Mm-hmm. We don't like to make decisions. I always like to have, like, I want them to, I want every restaurant to have a thing that they're like, you should eat this. It's good.
I love that. Yeah. I love sitting down and being like, what do you recommend? What do I need to have? Mm-hmm. What would it be a mistake to not get?
Right.
Yeah.
I want to be told. But then I will still make my own decision. But
are you okay to ask? Because we got into a big remember me, you, and like Jack. We all got into like a big argument over this, because I'll always ask for a waiter's advice on, like, what he thinks is good.
Mm-hmm. Which I think is totally reasonable, and Jack thinks is, like, out of line.
He gets very mad at that. He got very mad at me for that. And I think sometimes people don't like the job that they work at, but I don't think you can assume that with everyone. I feel like some people do care about it, and I like hearing their opinion on it. You know?
Absolutely. I also have someone in my life who gives me a hard time when I ask that question. They think I'm bothering the waiter. It's not their job to tell me what to order. I totally disagree.
Do I know this person?
You do. Oh. When I was serving, like, if someone asks me what are my favorite things on the menu, like, that's only going to make me happy to talk right. about mm-hmm. my favorite things.
They're going to, yeah, the servers are going to have an opinion. They're going to know better than anyone
exactly.
in there, except maybe the chefs.
They know who's ordered, how much it's getting ordered, right. and what's the most popular. Yeah.
You know what I will do? This is, I will usually ask about specific items. I'll be like, have you had this one?
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, I can usually read because it, probably the worst you'll get is like, oh, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
But so you can kind of read that versus like, it's great. And if it's emphatic, yeah. I'll oftentimes, that'll make the decision for me.
Yeah.
But the thing that you were just mentioning that I oftentimes view as a red flag is if they're like, oh, this is one of our best sellers. That to me is like, okay, this is a very safe dish.
Yeah.
Like they're trying to steer me towards something that's
not
a, like
helpful.
A crowd pleaser. And like, the best seller, I want to know what your personal favorite is.
Yeah.
Huh, I go either way. To me, both are good for me.
Okay.
Because best seller, like it's people are coming back and getting it again and again.
It's definitely helpful information.
Yeah. That actually happened to me at lunch today. I was at a new place and there was a lot of stuff on the menu, and I asked about a tomato salad it sounded so good. I'm like, I'm definitely getting it, but I'm just gonna ask. And she was like, not the right flavor profile. She was like very honest, and
yeah.
she's like, I think you should get this kale salad. And I was like, all right, I'll do it.
Kale salad. I'm just so sick of salads.
Yeah,
I know.
It's such a bummer.
I
mean, I like salads
potatoes,
too,
but.
That's great. I feel like you gotta have some sort of.
Yeah, and I got a key lime pie in a cup that was really good too.
Oh, wow. Sounds great.
Yeah.
Cup pies in a cup.
Yeah.
I feel like dessert cups are kind of becoming more and more of a thing.
Yeah, I like a modest portion for a dessert.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's nice when it's like just compact and contained.
Mm-hmm.
I also am really against sharing dessert. I feel like it becomes a competition between the people I'm with, and I just don't want to go there.
Not even with an SO? Not with a significant other?
It depends.
I don't know. I feel like my wife and I only share desserts.
That's
I feel
good.
Like we're rarely getting two
That's,
desserts.
Here's my thing with an SO. So, I am like a greedy, chubby loser that like loves my food. And
me too.
I get more mad or whatever if I'm like, if I'm on a date with my SO and I'm like, do you want something to eat? Do you want popcorn or do you want a soda or something? Do you want anything?
Yeah.
And then if they say no, and then we go into the theater and they start eating it, I get very, because I don't even care to. I'll buy. Like that's the thing
right.
is like I'm like I'm willing to buy it, but if I'm buying something now, I'm setting my mind on a set like
yes.
you're saying of like the thing that satisfies like this. I'm like I'm gonna get a small popcorn, and this small popcorn with butter or whatever, like the amount of food that's in this small popcorn is what's gonna satisfy
yes.
me.
Right.
Yes.
And so when like they start eating that, I'm like, you've now disrupted this. I would have bought you your own small popcorn, or I would have bought a large popcorn or a medium mm-hmm. popcorn, and we would have been able to share it. I would have been fine. But you told me no. And then like it's like why say no? Like just
yeah.
Like that to me is just like and that it's so often that I'll just be like I'll just go with I'll get the bigger one just in
yeah,
case.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But like that to me drives me nuts because that happens with. With if it's an SO or if it's a or if it's a FM, a family member, or if it's or just a friend, like anything like that, where like that is very frustrating.
It's a betrayal of trust.
Yes,
really.
Yeah.
The social contract is like if we're going to share, we need to decide we're going to share in advance. Maybe a bite might be offered, but beyond that, if you opted not to get your own thing and then you're eating some of mine, that's unfair.
Yeah.
I remember in high school, like kids who would like kids would be like, "Let me have some of your like," which is like in hindsight, I'm like, that actually happened. Like, kids would be like, "Let me have some fries or whatever," and you're
yeah.
like, "No, get the fuck away from me!"
Right?
I totally.
I wish that I could go back in time and say like, I wish I could go back in time as an adult and say, get the fuck, like, get away. And then me and my younger self would get our asses kicked.
Dude, if you order fries, that doesn't mean they're for the table.
No.
Unless you designate it for the table.
Yes, ahead of time. Okay, kind of a reverse problem, which I wonder if this is strictly like a female concern or not. I was once in the early days of a relationship, and he went to go get a Subway and asked, took my order, and I ordered a foot-long turkey sandwich, and he came back, and he only had gotten a 6-inch, and I kind of felt like betrayed, even though I wasn't really, but I was embarrassed.
Did he intentionally do that, or had he just forgotten, like he just got your
order? No, he got himself a 6-inch and I had a foot long, and I just felt embarrassed that I was eating twice as much as this man, and I don't know, I just,
who is this little fucking pussy boy anyway?
Just a 6-inch for me. I'll pound this scrawny twerp. No, I mean, like, I think that might be gendered, because yeah. I would not feel as self-conscious with at being the man in a mixed gender relationship or in a mixed gender date. I think I would like probably not have that same somewhere, unless it was a gigantic amount of disparity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but then it'd maybe just be like, oh, she's not hungry.
Yeah,
no, I don't know.
I will always get the foot long sub. So yeah. I don't think I've ever ordered a 6-inch sub from Subway before. Why ever get the 6-inch sub?
I have done it before.
Is it ever satisfying? That seems insane to me.
I mean, it's a good amount of bread, but I think it's more like if you're getting Subway by necessity sometimes, and you're not really craving it, and you're just like, fuck it, just get the 6. Those are times. You know what I used to get? They used to have these round sandwiches.
I remember those.
And you could get like, it was like an insane deal for time. You could get like two for $2. So I used to get two of those, and that was actually a very good
budget.
Those
were so fucking good.
They were fucking great.
It was a kids' meal, too. That's how the kids' meal came.
They might have turned into the kids' meal, but there was a time when they were available for adults, and they were like hamburger bun soft. Mm-hmm. It was a very different texture of bread. It was very, very satisfying.
Oh, I miss that.
I don't know. I feel like I don't know these.
Maybe they didn't make them out east.
I mean, like, Subway was one of those places that was, like, by, like, necessity. Like, when I used to go up to the sketch group I was in, the Birthday Boys, we used to go to their house, and, like, it was a place that was, like, nearby and didn't make you feel like... Even though you have a weird opinion on this, which is wrong, but it didn't make me feel as bad to get like a turkey sandwich and apple slices because I was eating that like every, you know what I mean? Like so often.
As opposed to like getting Carl's Jr.
Or anything.
Yeah.
You and I differ on this big time.
Well, my thought is if you're going to get Subway, if you're like, you shouldn't consider it a healthy meal because you're getting so much bread that's just the overwhelming component of that meal is just like all the bread you're consuming, especially if you're having a foot long.
And you and I disagree, but just because it's just. It's a thousand times better than eating In-N-Out or Carl's Jr.
I think it's a psychological comfort to eating the Subway because you think you're eating something healthier, but it's not actually appreciably healthier than like a double Western bacon cheeseburger from Carl's Jr.
That's so much worse. If I ate Subway, a turkey sub from Subway every night with apple slices, I would be doing so much better. Like if I ate that all the time, I feel like I would be doing so much better. In my life.
It, like, when I was a kid, Subway was considered healthy because it's back to, like, low-fat.
Yeah.
Or whatever. But, yeah, now it's not healthy.
Right.
I don't think.
Yeah, I don't. Bread. I don't. Well, it's just the
bread. The
healthier.
Bread is the bad part of it.
That's
is what
thing,
you were talking
yeah.
about.
Do you guys still eat Subway?
No.
I'm just curious.
I do sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes, yeah.
For me, it's like a once-a-year thing, and it's always a situation where it's like, fuck. Right. I think the last time I ate Subway was when we reviewed Subway on the podcast.
I can't... Subway is like a cockroach of, like, chains.
Yeah.
It's like, how is it survive? I mean, like, because of what it is.
They survived a scandal, also.
Yes,
which is crazy.
It's insane.
They survived a huge scandal. Yeah.
Which is like, we talked about it even on our podcast on Doughboys. I was like, I hate Jared. I think he's a fucking creep. And if the podcast was going on long enough, I probably would have accused him of being a pedophile, which he ended up being.
This was before the accusations came out, you were anti-Jared.
I was anti-Jared.
Wow.
I
was ahead of the curve.
I always like I can be sometimes a good judge of character. That's why I think Weiger is terrible.
I think wait a minute.
Yeah, we have our own Jared on Double.
Well, you guys, I feel like we've been talking and I don't want to keep you any longer because I know you guys haven't had dinner yet and that is stressing me out. But this has been super fun.
Yes.
Thanks for being here. Mm-hmm. I hope everyone is very encouraged to check out Doughboys if they aren't already a super fan like me. Is there anything else that you guys want to plug or point out?
I just felt bad that we were doing so well and we weren't talking about food, but then like losers, we for half this podcast, we still talked about fucking food.
Well, I feel like that's me too. That's what I like to talk about.
Yeah,
too,
so. You're definitely a food-focused person.
Yeah.
It's like, it occupies my thoughts at all times.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, good. We can agree on that.
Yeah, don't take responsibility for that. So yeah, the Doughboys, anything else?
New episodes every Thursday on Feral Audio. You can download it on iTunes, subscribe. It's the two of us shooting the shit about chain restaurants. If you're looking for a jumping on point and you listen to this podcast, our episode we did with Esther, Tuckin' Wood Ranch, was a lot of fun.
Thanks, you guys.
Yep. Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Thank you.
As a branch of the United States government, it is the mission of the National Security Agency to assess and flag citizens of the country who may present a threat to its security. The NSA has clearance to wiretap by any means necessary.
Tapped. Incidental recordings of private conversations from the files of the NSA.
Now on feralaudio.com.